This podcast is for entertainment purposes only. All opinions expressed by podcast participants are solely their own and does not replace your own professional financial, legal, or tax advice. In October 2022, another round of changes is happening to income protection insurance policies. Yes, that's just weeks away. Today, my guest is Graham Hedges from Hedges Asset Planning. Graham has been an insurance and financial advisor for decades and has helped a long list of doctors protect and grow their wealth. In this interview, we talk about personal insurance with a particular focus on income protection policies. I've split the interview into two parts for easier listening. In part A, Graham explains the five types of personal insurance. We then walk through the changes to income protection policies over the past 2 years and the changes that we can expect to see in October this year. In part B, we walk through the process of getting a new policy, reviewing an existing policy, and how you can save money on your insurance premiums. We finish up with Graham answering some listener questions. If you have an insurance policy or are planning to sign up for one, I'm sure you will learn a lot from this conversation. If you'd like to have a chat with Graham, you can find his contact details in the show notes. Enjoy the episode. My name is Andrew, and this is the Medical Money Podcast. Come join my journey to a wealthier and happier life as I chat with smart people to learn from their experience, expertise, and insights. If you have feedback, ideas, or a guest you'd like me to bring onto the show, please visit medicalmoney.com and send me an email. Thanks for jumping on board, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Good morning, Graham. Thanks for joining me today to talk about personal insurance. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having me on your show. Looking forward to it.
I'm really excited to hear about the recent and upcoming changes to insurance, particularly income protection, and also how doctors can save money on their insurance policies. I've also got a nice list of questions that have come from listeners of the podcast. So to kick us off, can you share a little bit about you and what you do?
No problems at all. I'm a qualified financial planner, CFP, been in the industry for 30 years, MBA qualified as well. Love working with the doctors in the medical industry. We do quite a bit over here in Adelaide, and also we have clients on the Eastern Seaboard as well. We have a 1-800 phone number, which 1-800-INVEST actually, which people contact us via. We specialize in insurances, but we do offer tax minimization strategies and superannuation and things like that. But our main thing is insurance, and it's a very, very complex minefield it can be. So we like to try and specialize instead of being a jack of all trades, specialize in certain areas, and insurance is one of them. So we've been doing that for quite a few years now.
Yep, you've been looking after me for quite a few years, and definitely I can vouch that you have a lot of other medicos on your books when we have some social gatherings as well. Yeah. Very good. Talk about personal insurance and policy changes. After watching the insurance industry lose billions of dollars, APRA has made some sweeping changes over the past 2 years, particularly to income protection policies. Before we dig into these changes, can you briefly explain the different types of insurance, personal insurance policies, and the things that they cover?
Yep, no, not a problem. There's four main ones and a fifth one being needle stick, but the four main ones are probably the cornerstone of your protection for your family protection and your wealth protection. And they are mainly income protection, life insurance, trauma insurance, and total and permanent disability, or what they call TPD insurance, and then needle stick. just on life insurance, that's as it is. If you pass away, there'll be an amount of money paid out to your beneficiaries and to be useful. You know, we can talk about that later on the show, but use for whatever your needs are. Next is total and permanent disability, which is a TPD coverage. Most of them, people I come across buy on price, and they end up buying what they call an any occupation disabled definition, which means literally that if you're unable to do any occupation that the insurer sees fit by, from maybe education, training, experience, or what they deem they can rehab you through, you may get a payout then. So we look at trying to watertight that a bit more by using an own occupation, and you should look for an own occupation definition, which can be funded most of your premium via super and some out of your own money, or you can fund it all yourself. And that just means if you can't do your own occupation, you will have more of a chance of a successful claim. And that's very important, I feel, for the medical industry. Then there's trauma. Trauma is really was introduced probably about 30, 40 years ago by Christian Barnard, the heart surgeon. I think it was South African, as there was a gap between income protection, which paid you on the drip, on like an amount every month, and it versus a lump sum TPD payout. So trauma was actually the stopgap between the two, which paid out on a defined event. So it didn't have to be a total permanent disability. It was a defined event such as, you know, having a heart attack or a stroke or Parkinson's or, you know, cancers, loss of speech, whatever. And once you've been met the criteria, whether you go back to work after a heart attack or whatever, the insurance companies would pay out still the amount of money you insured for. And then there's income protection, which is important for everybody, I suppose, because I call it the greedy insurance. It's the only insurance really that looks after yourself and make sure that you still have money coming in regardless of whatever happens. And that's just really as it is, protecting your income against a sickness or an illness after a waiting period or an excess period, and that could cover you through the rest of your working life. So it just really guarantees that money coming in, which then would support you, your home loans, your rates and taxes, your lifestyle, your food on the plate, the family, the kids' education, whatever the case could be. It just means your plans going forward that you started before the claim are not wrecked. You can still, you know, send your kids to school and all that stuff. And finally, there's a needle stick, which is quite important as well in the medical industry. It's really about if you have a lump sum normally paid out, if you acquire a Hep B or C or a HIV or some kind of bloodborne disease through a needle stick through your occupation. That's quite important as well. So they're really the main five that we talk about and deal with.
So on income protection, what are some of the main things that doctors would claim for their income protection to get their benefits paid out? I've heard mental health is a big one.
It is actually. Good point, Andrew. Probably in the last 10 years, most of the claims are more acute. So they were, you know, people having an accident, pulling, damaging the hip or the shoulder or whatever. But now it's become more, more chronic claims, and hence why they've had changes in the industry, and hence why the prices have gone up, because these chronic long-term claims weren't priced for 10, 15 years ago. And mental health now is, as far as I'm aware, it's about 42% or just over 4 in 10 of new claims coming in. And it's a big issue these days. So it's an important thing to make sure if you are unable to work due to some kind of mental illness or depression or whatever, anxiety, that you've got some kind of financial backing looking after you.
And so the income protection is the only one which is an ongoing benefit payment, isn't it? The rest are all single lump sum payments.
Correct. Income protection is really like your employer. That becomes your new employer, the insurance company, and they will pay you a monthly amount that you guys have discussed, which we set up. And they'll pay that until you're either back working or you go to some rehab and slowly move back in, and then you can go into what they call a partial benefits if that's available.
And then with the life insurance, that's pretty straightforward then, isn't it? It's you're dead or alive. But sometimes you can also get it if you're diagnosed with a terminal illness and you've been given less than a certain period to live.
Yeah, that's true. Depending on the insurers, anywhere from 12 months to 24 months to live, they will say if you've got a terminal illness and it's been signed off by your doctor saying, you know, you're expected to pass away in the coming year or so, they will pay out 100% of your insurance benefits up front. And the reason for that is to just, you know, have a final holiday with your family, just tidy up things, make sure things are all in place financially before you move on, and so there's less stress and pressure on your spouse to try and organise things, and just make sure that's all done properly. So the terminal illness is paid out. It just means then when you pass away, there's no death benefit payable because you've had an advance on that. And if by some sheer fluke of, you know, act of God or whatever, you don't pass away, you don't have to pay it back.
Right, that's interesting. Yeah, I saw one of the nurses I work with. She was diagnosed with terminal tongue cancer, I think, and she got paid out probably about a year before passing away, and took the kids on holidays and spent quality time with them. This was pre-COVID, which was nice as they could travel overseas, but it was good that she could actually access that during her lifetime.
The kids have got memories now of her mum before they passed away, because they probably wouldn't have done that if she didn't.
Yeah, that's right. And so with trauma, what are the main traumatic events that trauma payouts occur for?
The main ones we've had claims for is cancer and a heart attack and stroke, probably the main three which we find. There's a list of defined events that you can be covered for, and they go as deep as maybe 50 to 60 different defined events. But our most popular one is cancer, and actually we do a lot of pro bono work for the Cancer Society of helping out their clients tidy themselves up if they've got issues, you know, been underinsured and want some idea what to do. But cancer is the main one we find, something you don't expect.
So cancer is probably about, what, 30% of people are going to be diagnosed with cancer, then heart attacks and strokes. Are there any other ones that outside of that big three?
Other than that is kidney. Kidney issues have been coming to the forefront of recent years, like being on dialysis and renal failure and stuff like that. That's up there. But the rest can be things like dementias and Parkinson's and areas like that. Severe burns. So even if you're not expecting anything, you know, it could be from chemical, fire, steam, whatever. Even things like that are covered as well. But the majority of ones, we've had odd ones, you know, like hypertension and all that being paid out. But majority of my cancer or heart attack or stroke, especially these days, the heart attack's been the paper quite a bit in the media with a lot of people in their 50s passing away. So it's a big thing.
Wonder whether COVID has something to do with that. Definitely, yeah. I've got some cardiac symptoms after my vaccinations previously. And then trauma. Just want to go into trauma. So if you get claimed for a heart attack, mm-hmm. and then you recover, and then say a couple of years later you claim for a cancer case, you get diagnosed with cancer. How mm-hmm. does that work in terms of paying your ongoing policy, and also how many times you can claim on different things or for the same thing? Say you had bowel cancer, and then a few years later you end up getting breast cancer or prostate cancer for a fella.
Okay. If you've got the policy set up properly, like through your existing insurance advisor or whatever you've done, there'll be an option in there called a reinstatement issue. So what that means is if you have a heart attack, after 12 months, if you're still alive and kicking and things like that, you can actually repurchase back the cover that you were paid out. So if you had $100,000 covered for a heart attack, and you had your heart attack and you survived and you're back at work within, you know, could even be 2 weeks or whatever the case could be, I don't know. After 12 months, you have the ability to repurchase that cover back that was paid out without any evidence of health. So you get the cover back again, and you'll be covered for everything else listed in the benefits except for anything related to the heart. So if you do have that stroke, or you do have a dementia coming in, or you have a paraplegic, you have a car accident, whatever, you'll be covered again.
Yep. And then with TPD, it is, mm-hmm. you mentioned about own occupation versus any occupation, and that's similar with income protection. Mm-hmm. How does that work? Say you can't do your own occupation, then you immediately just get paid a payout, a lump sum payout, and then that's the end of that policy?
Yeah. Yes. Unless you have what they have. Once again, we talk to our clients about having a buyback option in there. So the buyback option work there gives you, because what happens is TPD would normally come off off your life cover. They have them linked together, and we have a buyback cover. So your TPD will be paid out. You can't repurchase the TPD back, but you'll be repurchasing or buying back the death cover that's been decreased by your TPD payout. You'll find of a lot of industry, a lot of super funds are run the same way. They'll give you a payout of either a death cover or a TPD cover payout. So if you have a TPD payout, we're having the buyback, which will allow you to maintain the death cover for, you know, for future. Because your TPD may not be used for debts and all that. It may be used for, living expenses around the house. You know, it could be expensive medical costs. It could be lowering benches, reno costs, you know, making adjustments to the car so you can drive. You don't know what your TPD is going to be, but it doesn't mean you can use those funds to pay off the debt. So that's why it's important to maintain a life cover through a buyback option.
Right. So the TPD is often linked with the life insurance policy together.
Yes. Yes, very rarely it's not, but it can be if some people want it.
Yeah, oh, very good. Thanks for that overview. Mm. And for doctors, our ability to work and generate income is our greatest asset. Many changes have occurred to income protection since 2020. Can you walk us through the evolution of these changes and maybe some of the things we can expect in the not too distant future?
Okay. Well, 2020 and 1st of April, ironically April Fool's Day, but 1st of April there were some changes made which virtually got rid of an agreed value policy and also brought people into an indemnity style policy where they looked at your income over a previous 12 months, over a two or 3 year window pre-claim. While with the agreed value is once you've commenced your policy, no matter what happens to your income, whether it goes down or go up, you're guaranteed or you agreed that they'll pay you that amount of money. So these things were costing the insurance companies quite a bit of money because the policies pre-April 2020 were also very generous in the features and definitions towards the clients. So, you know, people would be on claim for a long, long time when they probably didn't need to. I'm not saying they didn't need to, but it's the insurer's words. So they all rallied APRA and got things changed. And so any policy issued before April the 1st, 2020 is grandfathered. So nothing changes unless you personally want to change your own policy. And what I mean by change is in cancel it or make changes to it. But if you want to increase your policy, you can still increase it and be covered. Going forward, they had the no agreed value, no guarantee. So there was issues then if your income, if you change your income due to lifestyle. You may say, look, I don't want to work 5 days a week anymore. I want to work 3 days a week. And that could affect your income. So then you may not be paid or what you may be expecting to be paid because your income's now dropped. And you think in your mind you're insured for this, but 5 years later you forget all these things and it could be a bit of an issue. So they've brought in changes coming in now where they're limiting your benefit to a maximum of $70,000 and you can have an own occupation now forever to day on the policy, like through to age 65. But after October this year, they're making changes. You can only have an own occupation for a maximum of 2 years. And then after 2 years, you can then go on to an any occupation definition. Some companies are offering their own occupation up for a 5 year period. But end of the day is they're all going to be pushing you for long term into an any occupation. So they can virtually try and rehab you back into another occupation or pull back the amount of money they pay you.
And so is the maximum contracts are going to be for 5 years as well? That was the change that was made in October 2021.
You can still get 65 available. They've got rid of, I think most of them are pulling back and getting rid of the 70, age 70 benefit periods. I think they're going. There's a lot of them are getting rid of the level premiums as well. Like OnePath now, you can't have a level premium for income protection. They've abolished that. So they're all putting on STEP because STEP is, they can make more money, I suppose, as you get older. Your premiums will go up in relation to your age instead of trying to be locked in the level rate. But the 5 year benefit period, you can have a 5 year and also a 2 year benefit period as well. But there still is benefit periods available at 65 at the moment anyway, if you get in.
So these changes are happening in October 2022. So we've only got a couple of months really until these changes, well, not even a couple of months until these changes come into effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so the key ones there is really the fall in the benefit of own occupation after probably a 2 year period.
Correct. So there's ways around that if you can and manage costs. If the insurer that you use doesn't offer an age 65 cover, we deal with about 8 or 9 different insurers, so we have access to quite a few. But if you do want to try and manage your premium costs as well, instead of paying for a 65 benefit period, you may only want the next 60 months covered for a claim. Is if it's a permanent disability and you got your own occupation kicking in, well, the chances of you being disabled after 5 years is in the 90%, so it's quite high. So you'll still be disabled a bit longer. You need that cover. So if you have a 5 year period to manage your premiums, you may be doing yourself a disservice. So then we can look at ways of maybe plugging that financial gap with maybe an own occupation TPD cover, for example. So we can do a bit of a blend of different insurances to try and find that sweet spot for the amount of cover you need in relation to what you're prepared to pay.
So it's really dependent on each person's individual circumstances, I suppose, and also their household circumstances if there are other high or low earning income sources in the house.
Yeah, correct, 100%. It all depends on what they feel like.
Yeah, and so these changes are happening for income protection, October 2022. Have there been any significant changes to other personal insurance policies?
Nothing really significant comes to mind. The main ones have been the income protection. Trauma is still trauma and the TPD is, you still got the own and any occupation and the splitting of the two between if you want your super fund to fund some of that premium as well.
So those are large, the lump sum payments, basically they make money from the insurance companies, whereas it seems like the income protection is actually losing money because of the extended payout of the benefit period over time.
Yeah, it is, mainly because the definitions are quite a lot more lax. Now they made it harder. It's harder to claim, harder to stay on claim. While the current ones at the moment, the previous ones, the features and the definitions are a lot more generous. So, it's a lot less to prove that you're disabled, I suppose, to start work and be sick compared to going forward in the future. It'll be a lot more hoops to jump through.
How about policies that are inside super? Inside super, there's the life and also the income protection policies, but income protection is not own occupation. It's any occupation, isn't it?
Yep, correct.
Yeah. And has any changes occurred to that at all? Like the defined payment period or anything?
Yeah, over the years, they used to be able to have an guaranteed income protection policy inside super, and you could also have own occupation. But over the last probably 5 to 7 years, they've made changes to that. So you that's getting watered down now. And actually, some of the policies in some of the funds, and I think Australian Super could be, they have an unable to work definition. So it's not an any occupation or an own occupation, it's unable to work. And people think, oh, that's okay. If I can't work, I can claim. But no, it's like unable to do anything virtually. So they're getting very harder, and you've got to be aware of what the features are, what the definitions are, because if you don't, it's going to come back and bite you. And that's where we will look around and look at the different features, different definitions, and the PDSs for you, and make sure you can get the best cover possible for what you need and what you're willing to pay. The own occupation is a big issue. So what happens now, there are companies which will split the own occupation premium. So some of it can be funded by super, which helps people with their cash flow. You could spend that on more pressing things in your 30s and 40s, like, you know, maybe mortgages, investment properties, children going through school and stuff like that. And then worry about that at a later life to take it out of super. But if you've got it in super, you need that override of the any occupation, which has to be funded from your personal cash flow. With the income protection policies, a lot of those are only limited to 2 years. So a lot of people think, oh, I've got, you know, coverage through to age 65, but they haven't. They've got cover through to 65, but they only got a benefit payment period of 2 years. So in other words, they're covered up to 65, but if they have a claim, only cover for 24 months. After that, they've got to fend for themselves.
Yeah, so I think for anyone who's really a consultant level, a doctor with a mortgage and liabilities, if they've got children, they probably do need something outside of super, don't they, in terms of income protection?
100%, 100%. They're dealing with high incomes and just things they want to do for the family, you know, and you want to protect that. That's the cornerstone of your empire, I suppose, or your kingdom, is if you can't work and get out of bed in the morning, the whole thing falls apart. That's why I said it's the greedy insurance. It looks after you, looks after the number one. It doesn't look after anyone else. It just makes sure that you've got the ability to every day have income coming in if you can't get out of bed and do your duty as whatever you do.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star review. If you learned something new, please share the episode with your family and friends. Stay updated with the cool things I have planned by heading over to medicalmoney.com and subscribe to my mailing list. Finally, this podcast is not financial advice, and all opinions expressed by podcast participants are solely their own. Please seek professional advice before making any financial or investment decision.